Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley. Kyle Thompson. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, everybody.
Kyle Thompson, the ex-intern. You would have heard him recently on the 24-hour marathon. That show people loved. You had to have been told that, right? How open you were about your family and your mom's trying to turn your dad against you and makes up weird fucking stories and you're keeping the whole family together. Did you get good responses?
Yeah, it was great. And it felt very freeing. It was not much time to pass since everything that happened, but it just felt like just throwing it out there was like it made it more real, and it being real just felt good.
Yeah, I'd recommend hearing episode 2923, The Case for Christ. Kyle's featured on that. Then the follow-up, the recent episode that he was on, is episode 3774, Figure It Out or Die. That was, Kyle's sharing. How old are you again, Kyle? Remind me.
I turned 35 in August.
35, and has all these horrible things he explains happening in his life, and it's like, oh, what gets you through? And he's like, oh, you figure it out or die. What's the other option? Like, okay. I'll give you a minute, everybody, to go and hear those shows and then come back. Okay, perfect. So you're caught up. Anything new per se with the family? With you and your mom making peace, your mom lying about your dad being a pedophile, and you're able to look past that because she's finally being honest about it.
Yeah, it's been good. Her and I have been keeping up to date on things, and she's being supportive of everybody. And I feel like it really was just like, not that you want something like your baby sister passing to crack the egg open, but right. It really did, you know? And there's just kind of like, you know, I was able to just share everything with her that had been going on with me, and everyone just kind of came together, and it's been good.
Is time healing any of that with the passing of your sister overdosing?
It's been tough. You know, I think that I was just talking to my brother earlier today, actually. We're in that stage now where it's just very present in our minds in a kind of uncontrollable way. Like, you're past the initial shock of it, but I'm starting to have like dreams where she's in it, and then like something happens to her, and you know, it's just part of the process. And I've been doing this stupid book called The Artist's Way, right. And you spend every morning writing, and that's been really helpful for that too. So,
did the dreams ever seem real? Like I'll dream that I'm back in school, and I'm like, I'm an adult. And I don't think I live in Pennsylvania. I think I live in New York City. I think I have my own business. But I'm going to take this math test just in case, because that would be very embarrassing. Do you ever realize, like, hey, wait a minute, I think you're dead?
Yeah, it's like that. But it takes, like, the most stupid thing to, like, snap me out of it. Because right. It's exactly like you're saying. I'm like, this is so weird and frustrating. But I had a big breakthrough, like, you know, before my sister passed, just like trying to heal from stuff that happened with my ex. And because I would have really terrible dreams about that stuff. And it would really bother me. It would really, really bother me. And just going through this PTSD workbook, I was able to kind of just not be bothered by it. And it took a while, but got over those dreams to where they were so little that they just kind of went away. So I'm just hopeful and just pushing through this period now where I'm just trying to just understand that it's just what my brain is thinking about, and it's okay to be thinking about her, and it's okay to relive the pain to kind of like process it more, because that's what happens in these dreams. It's like she's there, everything's cool, and then something happens and it doesn't even need to be explained or reasonable or anything in the dream. Sure. It just all hits and you're like, oh yeah, she's dead. And so in that dream moment, it's very sad. I've woken up a couple of times crying, which is like something that's never happened to me before, very intense, but you know, it is what it is. It was a terrible, terrible thing, and we're just trying to work through it.
I remember being a kid watching Freddy Krueger and be like, well, this is goddamn ridiculous. But then you get older and you have so many dreams and you're like, I could see believing I'm in an 8-bit video game. Why wouldn't I be?
Yeah, sure. Man. That was my first on-screen titties was Freddy Krueger 3, where they're in the mental hospital and the nurse Dream busts Warriors. The blouse open.
Yeah. That's with Johnny Depp, right?
No, he's in the first one. He dies.
Oh, okay.
Spoilers. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, dreams are so fucking weird. When you say brother, is this the one that's a transgender brother? I know
Justin, my older brother. Yeah. He's been, you know, it's been a whole long process throughout his whole life to figure this stuff out, but he's been Justin for close to a decade now. And Yeah, it's right now we're fundraising for him to get his top surgery done because he's living in Tennessee. Justin, I'm just going to share a little bit about your life, but you know, don't, it's not weird. Everyone's here loving me. They'll love you too. But,
well, if he's having a fundraiser.
Yeah. Justin was, struggling with like pretty severe alcoholism. And while on one hand we were worried about my sister,
right,
Katie, we were also worried about Justin on the other hand. And it was a lot to fucking deal with. It was a lot. And, Justin ended up in hospital. Well, he moved away from New York where we lived together, like shortly after I came up here to Toronto. And he ended up in hospital and kicked out of his house and just like kind of what we were all hoping would be rock bottom. And he saw rock bottom, right, and he's been sober for over a year now. He Good. Successfully moved out of the halfway house that he was in assisted living. And he is working in a warehouse doing forklift stuff. He's certified. He's getting more certifications. He's got his own place now.
And at the same time, you can kind of understand, I might want to numb myself if I look in the mirror and that's not me.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, and it's also, you know, he's the oldest of us. And with all the difficult, fucked up family shit, you know, it's that's a weight that I think that he was bearing unnecessarily hard. And, it's been amazing, you know. It's like my best pal. I get him back, and it's a funny thing with dreams too. Because for when I was younger, him and I he was always in my dreams.
Yeah.
And then as he sort of started to fade away into this addiction thing, that stopped happening, or it would be like a point of contention in the dream. And since he's been sober and we've been communicating better and everything, he's like my sidekick again in the dreams, and that's been feeling really good. Even in these dreams I've had this week that have been tough, like he's there with me. You know, it makes it a little easier. Yeah. So. It's been nice.
How do we support the fundraiser?
Yeah, so we're doing it through GoFundMe. He's living in Tennessee, so the healthcare there is not good, but it's a bit of a dire situation for him. You know, he's gotten threats at work. That person has gotten fired, but it's like, you know, this American South is the American South, and so we're trying to push hard for it. And it's the link for it is on my Instagram. My Instagram is Mr. Kyle with two Y's, and. You can go there and click on it and donate. And we're trying to reach the 10,000 mark. It's been out for like about a month now. I haven't done any big pushes. I'm going to be putting out some music. My brother who skates and is a skate videographer, he's like big time on Thrasher all the time and everything. He's also going to make some merch. And yeah, we're just going to keep pushing through it. Maybe do some benefit shows.
It's weird they're taking the breast away and he has to pay.
I know, it's crazy. The thing is, he's got big jugs, his words.
Yeah.
So it's a little more expensive than it would be normally.
Wow.
But yeah, 10,000 is the goal. And that includes like money for time missed at work, as well as money for one of us to travel down there and be there with him as he's recovering, because he won't be able to go out.
And when you say dire straits, being harassed, I'm guessing, is because he's saying I'm a dude, but people are seeing tits.
And yeah, so he's rapping, but you know, people still know,
right.
And so like, yeah, he's at work as a guy trying to use the guy's bathroom, and then like in the locker room, they're putting like, you know, like no trannies and like terrible awful shit, man. Like that.
Yeah,
and it was not as much as an issue in New York, but New York is also where he was struggling from his addiction, and it was, you know, not good. He was stuck in the loop of bartending to work, and that was enough money to survive. And how else do you make that much money, you know, without the whole thing. So his life has really turned around in the past year, and I'm just so grateful that turnaround was in full effect when my sister passed, because if not, who knows what the domino effect would have been.
Does he get upset that, you know, in other family all the news would be centered around him, but now you got your mom with these old weird lies you're making peace with, you have a dead sister? Is he like, hey, it's supposed to be about me and my top surgery? Well, everybody seems to have something.
Yeah, well, I thought about that a lot. And when we were all gathered for my sister's funeral and all that time, I made it very clear to everyone in the family that this is what we need to focus on now, is Justin's top surgery. He's here. This is like quite literally an emergency. And we need to take care of it. Everyone needs to focus on this now. And it's been really good. You know, even my stepdad, who's still very involved in like religious stuff and everything, has supported financially and has been staying involved in Justin's life. And my mom's opening up her tight purse and helping out and getting family members who we don't really talk to throw money at it. But, you know, 10,000 is a big number. So we're pushing, but I'm hoping to, I mean, the goal, the dream goal is to have it done by summer so that at the tail end of summer, he can go to the beach or something.
Get a nice tan, right.
Take his shirt off, yeah.
The, perhaps you saw this, Biden declared Transgender Day of Visibility, and it happened to fall on Easter this year. Easter, of course, always changes. Yeah. Donald Trump just did a rally, and he said, can you believe this? Of all days, he picks Easter, which of course wasn't deliberate, but whatever. He picks Easter to have a transgender day. And he goes, what is this bullshit? When I'm president, November 5th is going to be Christian Visibility Day. You know how Christians yeah. have to, you know, hide and run and scatter.
It's very, very all lives matter. Yeah.
Right. He says, such a disrespect to Christians, Trans Visibility Day, he said. This was in Green Bay, Wisconsin. On November 5th, it's going to be called something else. You know it's going to be called, and then he keeps repeating himself, Christian Visibility Day. What the fuck is wrong with people? Does do you guys talk in your family about who you vote for?
No.
You know not to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we've just reached this point, and it's something that I really drove home to everybody before we all got together, because it was the first time we were all together in the same place for over a decade. And I just kept saying to everybody, we are five adults with five completely different lives. We just need to not try and think that we're going to be this, like, all thoughts the same, like, jump back into anything. Like, this is a new experience. We're basically five strangers, you know, right. besides my brothers and me, but... You know, and I think that went well. I just, not subjects I really want to touch. I mean, me and my stepdad have gotten pretty deep with everything, but I still don't want to talk to him about that, really. You know, because, like, I love him to death, but, you know, there's just stuff we're just going to disagree on. It's just what it is. So let's just focus on the good stuff, especially while we're still trying to help Justin out and figure out how to move forward from the stuff that happened with my sister.
It is just so weird, though. Like, yeah, but what? How about taxes? Yeah, how about Christian Visibility Day, goddammit?
Yeah, I think he probably loves Christian Visibility Day. But it's a lack of understanding. I really have just tried to approach it from that, you know. We had a long conversation about him feeling good about giving money to Justin's fundraiser.
Okay.
And I was just like, dude, you gotta get it out of your head. Like, all these little hang-ups that you read about, like, oh, people want it reversed and stuff. I was like, you've seen women without tits. If Justin decides, oh, I messed up,
right.
he'll be flat-chested. His life will be easier anyway. It gives people back problems. Who cares? A lot of guys like flat-chested girls. Who cares? So that's just kind of like the attitude that I've had with him. And I just made it clear that it's an emergency. And he was pretty right. shocked to find out the stuff about him getting harassed at work. And I was like, dude, like, there's days if he doesn't answer the phone for like 24 hours because he works night shifts, you know? My head is going like, did he get shot on the way home from work? You know, because it's like right. that there. So it's just like, anyway, Mr. Kyle, MisterKyle on Instagram. You'll find the link there. It's a really long okay. GoFundMe link. It's a pain in the ass to find. So that's the easiest way.
Great.
I'll throw it up in the forums too.
All right. Well, you know, I'm looking for interns now. Kyle, of course, was an intern in the past. What
past.
People want to know the what qualifications they need to have. You have to have a lot of family strife and drama, I yep. find interesting, and preferably Adobe.
Yeah, I mean, I was 19, I think, when I met you guys. We went out for smoothies.
That's right. And then we took a picture right away where the smoothies were on the side as if we got you drunk or something.
Yeah, that was foretelling, and for sure.
We were off.
We started drinking heavy yes. right after that. Four Loko came out.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Remember when Hemda and I tried it for the first time on the show, and we're just like, I feel flush. I don't think I'm drunk, though. We're obviously instantaneously drunk.
The what should – well, now it's different because everything's virtual, at least for me still. What would you recommend an intern should know? Is there something they should be prepared for?
Then none of this shit matters. Whatever is said or portrayed or anything like that, just to not have anxiety about it, because it doesn't fucking matter. You know, this is a cool community. It's a safe place. And anybody who's into this show, and this is a compliment to you, Keith, is a fucking weirdo.
Thank you.
You know, and
Thank
so you. if you're normal enough to initiate a business like contract with a famous podcaster, then you're probably good. Probably.
Right. Could you imagine I talk about all these different interns and then I have to turn somebody down? I would take that personal.
Yeah, they'd be like, what the fuck?
The fuck? You talking about McNally and Lucas and what's Danny? His face?
Intern Mike and right. Andrea. Who was the whole list? Jess, me, Newsy.
Emmy. How many people are even still alive? And they were kids.
Yeah, Lord.
You recently listened to the My Name is Keith episode with McNally. And McNally were on that.
We were on it, yeah.
You were on one, and you were on it. What jogged your memory when you heard it recently?
Well, first off, I didn't remember how wasted I was. You know, I had to get a second wind about like 45 minutes in, and that was very hilarious to hear. Because also, I don't drink liquor anymore. I have like beers here and there. I don't really get drunk like ever, and more of a weed guy. But even less so these days, honestly, because it helps the dreams calm down a little bit. But just so busy with work, it's funny. It's, you know, I can be like, oh yeah, like I'm living a sober lifestyle, but it's like, no, I'm working crazy hours all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's the new drug, like 100%. But yeah, I was really wasted, and that was really funny because, you know, at first it's all fun and games, but I don't know, it was just he's just such an imbecile. And I was saying this on the chat this week, but man, like I thought of the show Mindhunter a lot when I was re-listening to it, because the way he's got like his relationship with his mom and this like inflated sense of self and like his ability to just like completely disregard what anybody's saying to him, especially the most pointed one of those. It happens throughout the whole show, of course. Right. But at the end, when we're trying to explain the difference between Al-Anon and Alcoholics Anonymous, and I lay it, you say it. And if you infer, and granted, we're all very drunk, but if you just infer a little bit, you can figure out what you're trying to say.
Right. I'm saying his brother's driving him crazy. Check out an Al-Anon meeting, and he's hearing alcohol like problem meeting.
And he's like, that's all bullshit, blah, blah, blah. And so I lay it out on the table. Like, I say, I think I've said this three times. I'll say it for a fourth time. But I think at that point, it was like the fifth or sixth time. Explaining, like, Al-Anon is for people who have family members or friends who are addicted and it's negatively affecting them. And you get there and you share stories and you're offering that you'll go with him. And he's just like, fuck that shit. I know better. Just instantly into a rage. I don't know. The whole thing, it's crazy to me. And it really hits now because I'm listening to it and I'm like, you know, he's saying no one has it worse. No one has it worse. My brother would be better off dead. And I'm thinking, no, I was like McNally, if you're spying on us still, you know, is he dead? Is it better? Because the answer is no.
Right.
You know, and he talks about how he's given up and I don't know. It was a trip and he's an asshole. And I think he's got some serious, like, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I've been around a lot of mentally ill people. You know, he's got some borderline issues, you know, like some sort of weird, antisocial behavior.
It is. It's not a surprise that I had to stop that show, My Name is Keith, where we just get drunk. Hey, surprise, surprise, I was an alcoholic. Oh, who saw that coming?
You're sober now, right?
Yeah. And then you have, you know, all the people that also were on there that are big drinkers getting into crazy situations, finding out like Jason Burke was a big drinker, but still somehow he overdid it on my show where he's later on, I'm hearing a story that he's out in Manhattan throwing his shoes at cabs. Casey James Salango happens to be wearing a, who's that wrestler? Woo!
Oh, man. You know, I'm drawing a blank.
Anyway, he has a t-shirt of a wrestler and he thinks he's that guy. And he's Ric Flair. And he's running around Ric going, Flair, I'm Ric Flair. Come fight me. His girlfriend happened to find him in the street. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Maybe we should stop this show. But I love that show so much. My name is Keith, and your VIP package, if I may say, is so fucking good.
It's a time capsule for sure. Especially, like, I think if you were still drinking and still in that trap, you'd probably still be doing it, and there would be probably some pretty dire consequences from it. I think even just being, you know, someone who wasn't holding people accountable and maybe like exacerbating it, you know, it's like it's just people make their own choices, but it's something that your mentals might be a little hung up on it and start to build up, you know?
I also think a big thing that made me stop it was we had a female guest. We had one female guest who kind of passed out after the show and then started touching herself in her passed out state. And I'm like, let's keep the cameras on just in case. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not live or anything, but you know what?
Let's just have accountability.
Yeah. Not that this person
When you say that at first, I'm like, wait, you kept the cameras on? What the right. fuck?
No, like, just behind the scenes. Just... I don't, you know, I'm not going to look at her, but the cameras will, just in case. Then there was a woman that took an Uber. According to the Uber, was dropped off a couple blocks away from my place, but woke up in the hospital. And I'm like, yeah, I think this is enough. I think it had its run.
She like comes out of the whatever state she's in, and she's like, "My name is King."
She goes, "I'm Ric Flair."
Yeah, and I mean, it's funny because like the one with McNally, the episode could have been a lot shorter because we did go in circles for forever. But that's part of what made it entertaining, and I think really showed a lot of the character of everybody in the room was just that, like, as we circled, you just kept getting like bits and bits and bits and more background of something that, with I think both of our life experience now, we could have just like inferred pretty easily and then stayed away from this person, right. You know?
Right. There is something though with the truth serum of alcohol or getting a otherwise tough guy on the show to cry and be vulnerable. I'm like, that wouldn't have happened without booze though. Not this particular situation.
And that probably just accelerated the eventual end of your relationship with McNally and peppered a little shame on it that maybe stopped him from doing some more drastic things.
Maybe.
Because he was already being very drastic.
Right.
You know? But also with mental health, you can't, there's no reason to rhyme, right? So you can't think logically like that. But.
Well, if you have the Keith and the Girl app, you can easily end the VIP program, keithandthegirl.com/VIP. You also see old Keith and the Girl TV episodes, speaking of substances. And you doing Salvia and me and Newsy and a couple other people are on there. You saw that recently?
Yeah, I watched them today. I was cry laughing. They're so funny. Mine is pretty good. Newsy's is hysterical. It's hysterical. It's so funny. Like, I say a couple funny things. Like, we have a good couple back and forth. Right. I'm talking about the bong is trying to make me like spin and jump around and fly away. And then I like, after explaining that a few times, as if I had already included this detail, I'm like, yeah, the cactus guy, you know, like who's in there.
Cactus
and then
Joe.
I started to arrange all the stuff on the table, talking about how like the drink that I'm drinking is the only thing that's like keeping me to reality, but it's like whiskey and Coke. But I put the things on the table. I'm like, this one's a path. This one's a path. And I'm like, don't take the cell phone path. It's fucking dangerous. But like, I don't even remember any of that.
I remember Newsy started crying about something. And he's on Salvia. He's fucked up. And I go, hey, I got Twinkies. That'll make you happy. And he goes, Twinkies? Yeah, I love Twinkies. And I go, I don't even move. Like, how I go, no, I'm out of Twinkies. He goes, oh, you're out of Twinkies. I'm like, yeah. I just found some. Again, I'm not moving. I'm right in front of him. I just found the Twinkies. Yay, Twinkies.
And we get the Twinkie because he did actually have them.
Right.
And he's like, this is going to be so good. And he takes a bite and he's like, so happy. And they're like, wait, but what if you were sad again? What if you didn't have Twinkies? He starts to cry again. And there's like a long pause where he's like heavy breathing. Like it's completely silent in the room. You just hear like a fan blowing in the background. And I'm like, but you could just be soaring on the wings of eagles, bud. Like this could be it. Like life is beautiful. And he's like, yeah, it is.
So this is what you have to look forward to, as an intern. info@keithandthegirl.com. You know, we'll find different drugs and stuff.
Those were good times, man. I mean, granted, yeah, we were drinking like alcoholics, and I I'm not sober now. I don't think I ever was full blown alcoholic, but I have addictive personality for sure. Right. And we were drinking like fucking madmen.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it did produce some good results, I think.
It did. We're still alive, and now we can go back at, like you said.
Now we both wear glasses. Cap, so. We're a little more chill, you know.
That's
it's
right. That's right. We did Q&A just the other day. We have this new style where Wednesday night we have our chat, and then I grab some people from there that are into doing a Newsy's wrap up show the very next day. Mm-hmm. That is so fun. We've only done it twice so far. We'll do it every week, but this is working out a lot. I really dig it. We got there's some funny people.
Can I just say, when you told me about that when I was in chat on Wednesday, mm-hmm. and I had the thought yesterday, I was like, oh man, you know who would be great on that is Diana. And I mentioned this in the forums today because I loved that she's on it.
Right.
Because she's awesome. One of the most earnest, sweet, lovely people. I want to hear more from you, Diana, always. So looking forward to seeing you next Wednesday.
And it's funny that comedians, you know, that do it for a living and how they think it's so precious and special what they do.
Yeah.
This chat room of, let's say, normies, I've never met funnier people.
I look forward to it so much. I've been back in the realm of that for like a few months now. Mm-hmm. And man, yeah, it's so funny. I find myself surprised by how much everyone's making me laugh at first, not anymore, because I know that I'm just going to laugh my ass off. Right. You know, hanging with comedians, this is an age-old thing now at this point, but it's the bits. You know, yes. You think you're having a conversation with somebody, and then they're looking at you for the review at the end of the sentence, right. And you're just like, oh, like, it doesn't matter what I say. I'm not bantering with you. We're not going anywhere with this. Like, it starts and ends with you, and that's really, really annoying.
And what they think is such a skill, like, do you get what I said? It's a callback. I'm like, yeah, people do that. You say something, and then you say something that relates to something earlier.
In the chat, if someone makes a callback, we all just laugh hysterically and then move forward. That's easy. It's fun.
We don't go, I saw what you did, math-wise.
Yeah, they're good. Ooh, but my ego's hurt because I didn't think of it first.
Usually, I only do my stand-up once a year, but once in a blue moon, I'll do somebody else's show. And I was doing one once, and backstage, this guy's talking to me, and I'm like, it doesn't feel like a conversation, but okay, you said what you said. Then it's his turn to go on stage, and it's that he was practicing on me. I'm like, well, that's why you weren't like there, shit. You fake fuck. Yeah.
That's why they don't have any friends, and that's why they're all alcoholics. Get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. KeithandTheGirl.com/VIP. Give it a try. If you don't like
there's
it, just let me know.
There's a lot to love there.
There's so much there. Love. Last week on Keith and the Girl with the Moros is fantastic. Q&A is going great, and every single show we've ever done, including My Name is Keats, Hemda's interview show, What's My Name, all that's right there, Keith and the Girl TV, I love, et cetera, et cetera. People seem to be liking the topic we covered with Brother Love about the conjoined twins, and this still fascinates me, that one body, two separate people, and that they have two separate heads, two separate brains, two separate sets of feelings. Each one controls their side of the body, meaning the arm and the leg. They have two hearts, but below that, everything is the same. Same blood system, same one genital system. And
so one vagina.
One vagina, and the one head just got married to a guy. And the dynamics of that are so interesting to me.
I'm trying to think about how that works, because I was listening to one with Brolo, and my thought is like it's like I said earlier, when you're trying to think of like the next move that someone who's mentally ill is going to make, and you can't think of it because it doesn't follow logic. I don't think that is working for them. I think that one is submitted to the other one, and like what other answer could there be? Like it is fucking bizarre though. You're right. Like
I mean, good. You got to make something work, but. Abby is the, if she was looking in a mirror, she'd be the head on the right. Abby is the one who got married. Brittany is the sister. And I'm thinking, could Brittany date and fuck other people? And the husband's cool with it? Because you gotta be.
Well, you know how there's like some, like there's half everybody's like obsessed with like monogamy and marriage, and like that's like a big part of society. And then there's like, let's say the other half who's like free spirit, like all that stuff. Maybe they got lucky and Abby's one of those married people and Brittany's one of those free spirit people. And she's like, well, I guess I just got to accept that if I'm going to be me, like part of that is going to have to be fucking my sister, basically, you know?
Right. I can't help but picture like Abby's fucking her husband and then Brittany's like, and Abby's like, oh, easy, zone out. What are you doing enjoying this? Or Brittany's even egging it on, like, I think you should fuck your husband tonight. Really, Brittany?
Threesomes are never good for all three people. Sometimes in the moment, sometimes. But there's always some sort of hang up in one of the three directions. And every time that this guy sleeps with his wife, he's having a threesome. So that's just like a lot of resentment and like rejection and all that building up every time. Like, it's not going to last.
If I had a twin, not even conjoined, but we looked alike, we talked alike, we thought basically alike.
You'd be fucking with him, right?
I'd be doing tricks, but yeah. When you see both heads, you can't really confuse me, I suppose. But if a woman picked my brother instead of me, I'd be like, oh, that's strange. You know, like, no, I'm not interested in your sister at all, that other head. Just you.
He has to be. He has to be. Like, maybe they're just all freaks. But they know that no matter what, the news is going to pick it up. It's a big story. So then right. They have to like write this little tale about like how it's like, it's a happy marriage. Cause it's missing details. You know, it's like being like, oh, like this guy like got eaten by a shark in Midtown Manhattan. And you're like, okay, so tell me the story. And they're like, so there was a shark in Midtown Manhattan and it swam up and it ate a guy. And you're like, okay, so keep going. And you're like, so the shark was in the street and it ate a guy in Midtown Manhattan. Right. And it's like, but there's more.
Yeah.
Like, it's on them. They got to tell us more. I hope we find
out. It is on that. Well, you know what? It's on them because they did the reality show. And I still don't know if one gives a blowjob, is there balls in the other one's face? You couldn't cover that on TLC?
You could do a little. You know how they got the thing on the iPhone where you can like measure distance through your camera? You can figure that out.
Only ones at the butt stuff, like I was thinking. Oh.
Yeah, you could, like, one eats ass, one sucks dick. You know, like, it's not bad.
I want to know how they sleep. Even that, not even sexual-wise. If one snores, does one hit the other one? If they try real hard to concentrate, I bet I could make your arm move. I bet if I am in charge of the rates on my body, I could still make your left arm move. And then I'm like, oh, why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? You know.
So do you think that the independence, even like down to like what they claim to be like the bodily independence on either side, is just a coping mechanism for what their parents did to them, which was not attempt the surgery to kill one of them to let the other one live a normal life? Like, that is, to me, I'm thinking immediately when I was listening to you guys talk about it the other day, it was just like, they're like, oh, we would have risked killing one of them or both of them. And it's like, yeah, but and I'm sorry to any conjoined twins out there, but it's a bit of an abomination territory. And because it's not fair, like, it's you go to get married and the whole world knows because you're a freak. And it's messed up.
Hey, what do I know? But I'm willing to remove my head. You could take
my head. I'd give it a shot. Yeah. And maybe the one who's like not married is just always suicidal, and they're like, oh, she won't care, but she can't do anything about it. Can you imagine? Oh my God, one of them attempts suicide. Lord.
Well, that we in New York, we just we had an earthquake. It was in New Jersey, but it affected many states. My point is, I freaked out. I was sleeping, and I woke up. I freaked out. I jump out of bed. I don't know what the fuck is real. I don't know if a truck at the house or I'm making this up. Like, am I fucking dizzy or something? I came into the living room because there's less shit to fall on me. And the whole place was sincerely shaking. It was the weirdest shit. How do they work together if there's an earthquake? This is my point.
I don't know how they do anything. Like, one of them's into snowboarding, the other one wants to ski. You know, like, I don't understand.
There's a lot of coin flipping.
It's on them to.
If you did the show, if you're doing a show about called Stare at Us, then I have a question or two. That's all I'm saying.
I want to know how the shark got there in the first place.
That's right. I didn't bring it up.
That's a callback, Keith. That's a callback.
Oh, that's a callback from earlier. That's humor.
You think it'll work? Anyway, it's my set now.
That's my closer. I'm working on a bit where you ever talk to a comedian, they're like, I'm working on a bit where like the subway's kind of packed sometimes. Oh, okay, what do you got? Well, that's what I'm thinking so far. Okay.
Yeah, that's great, man.
Okay.
Tell it to someone else, though. I'm going to go get a drink.
A 4.8 magnitude earthquake in New Jersey, about an hour and a half driving away. So I still felt it in New York City. My brother felt it in Connecticut. I hear people felt it on, I guess, the east coast of Pennsylvania. New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Maryland, Massachusetts, and Pennsylvania. People are reporting they felt it. Some of them are lying, probably, but 4.8. Some I saw somewhere as a 5.5, but I think they were measuring from the balls.
Where do these twins live? Hello. Did they feel it? Did one of them feel it and the other one didn't because they were standing on a state line? Or like, how does that work?
I do like to picture all the different scenarios of what happened to different people during this earthquake. I remember when there was a blackout in New York City. I happened to be, don't ask me how we got there in the first place, but happened to be in an empty tub getting a blowjob. And when I came, looking back, that's when all the power went out. Outside changed, inside changed, and I'm like, that's a fucking blowjob. Yeah. And it's not until after that I'm like, oh, that was a weird coincidence. So someone's someone's fucking during an earthquake. All this shit. I want to know all those stories.
Yeah, when I was I grew up in Southern Nevada, near Vegas, and when we would sometimes get them, but the worst one ever. I was walking home from the bus from school. I must have been elementary, middle school. I can't remember exactly. And I'm like two steps from my driveway, and all of a sudden it feels like I have vertigo or like something, I don't know, right. And I fall over, and as I'm trying to get up, like I can't get up, and my house is like wobbling.
Wow.
And I'm just like looking up at the front of the house. It was crazy.
There wasn't but, it seems
I
there's
imagine
not
being in a big city.
It seems there's not substantial damage and nothing, you know, dishes or anything didn't break personally, and then I was in stores afterwards. Everything seemed fine, but I mean this it was fucking weird. And I don't remember being in something like that before. The whole house was shaking.
Well, it's one of those, you know, it's a warning sign of all this climate change stuff, right?
Sure.
That, like, things that culturally haven't been prepared for all around the world, it's all a big shuffle. You know, it's like Sim right. City.
Yeah.
Anything can happen at any point, really.
Somebody took away our ladder, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Like in The Sims, yeah, you're stuck in the pool.
The epicenter was 40 miles from New York City. The Federal Aviation Administration briefly paused departures at some airports in New York, Philadelphia, and Baltimore. No, send the planes up.
Yeah, send them
everybody get on a fucking plane.
That would be scary as the plane's taking off that like they have to abort the takeoff. What would you be thinking? And you wouldn't, you know, like
everyone's just
turned their phones off, right? So they, right. Everyone's trying to turn it back on, figuring out what's happening.
Right.
So I heard on through Instagram stories that the alert took 40 minutes past the earthquake to arrive.
Well,
in New York.
And the alert was, I mean, I guess you don't see these things coming somehow, is my guess. But yeah, the alert I got, 4.7 magnitude, about 40 minutes later, 4.7 magnitude earthquake has occurred. Yeah, we know. Residents are advised to remain indoors and to call 911 if injured. I guess that's how dumb people are. Like, if I'm injured, could I call today?
Yeah, well, it's an earthquake. It's not something I did, so I don't want to bother anybody.
I think the emergency thing is just to let us know you're not crazy.
Yeah.
Because yeah. Everybody's asking, you know. I stepped outside. I'm looking around. Anybody being weird?
Was there a lot of people outside, like, also doing the same thing?
I know. People were walking normal by the time I went outside.
Yeah, well, it's New York, you know. You just
right. That's what's weird here. Oh, I'm not joking that the Empire State Building has a Twitter account, and they wrote, "I am fine." True story.
That's nice. That's
that
nice.
Cute. Yeah, we have a good time.
A little shake and a wiggle every once in a while never hurt you.
And I wonder if people use this as an excuse to call exes up on the phone. I remember when a 9/11 happened. I did. I called an ex or two, and I'm like, "Hey, baby, everything going okay?" And they're like, "Yeah, I'm in Illinois." I'm like, "I'm just checking, you know, it could be trauma, you know." Anyways, it's why people couldn't get phone calls out, because I was calling all my exes trying to see if I can use this as an in. So I wonder if people are like, "Oh, the earthquake, yeah."
Yeah, that's like a meme format for anytime anything happens. It would be something like to the effect of like, did you hear about this earthquake? You were always the most down to earth girl I knew, and when you left me, like, my life really got quaked up, but like, you know, maybe one day we can stay grounded together. You know, like, I hope you're well, like that kind of thing. You know, right. Just like, so yes, I don't doubt that at all.
There was a flood warning yesterday, an earthquake today, and I was just thinking about you, baby.
This probably ruined in progress breakups.
Right. Yeah. That's true too. So many things. There's so many fucking things. I finished the Wordle, and then this is. Do you play that, by the way, Wordle?
I used to get into it. It's just something that I can't. like keep up on it. I've tried, but I don't have the headspace to jump on it every day. It's fun though. My word was always party. Or how many letters is it?
Five. Yeah.
Yeah, it was always party, and I never lost when I was playing it. I thought that was funny.
I think they're out of words.
Yeah, there is only so many words. There's so right? many. It's just one book.
There's just one book. There's only so many words. The other day was Sally. One was Frond. I mean, finally, it's working out for me because I use fake words. Adieu.
Frond is plonk. A word like palm frond.
Who says that? We no just had Palm Sunday. I didn't hear that. I don't like the ones that you don't use on their own. Sally was a word, and then I see people going, "Yeah, to Sally Forth." A, you've never said that. I was in the military. No one said Sally Forth. B, the word is Sally. It's not Sally Forth.
Yeah, maybe the next day it's Forth, and they're like, "You see what we did there?
We put it together."
This is the New York Times. Trust us. Trust.
I saw somebody put what they put online. Sally. It's another fucking Sally bullshit. Sally Port. And they're like, see, it's a word. I'm like, but the word Sally. And no one heard of Sally Port. And you Googled something. You ended up on a fucking Wikipedia. And don't I, you know what? Just kiss Webster's ass and leave me the fuck out of it. You're lying and it's bullshit. It reminds me.
More of an Oxford person myself.
Right. It reminds me of all things Roe versus Wade. And you're like, all right, well, this is the law of the land. And then it's overturned, and it's like, well, how the fuck could that happen? And then all of a sudden, everybody goes, well, you know a law needs to be codified. You fucking weirdo that read the same article that I did this morning. We never talked in school about a law has to be codified.
Is it codified or codified?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I've read it as codified. I've never said it out loud, to your point.
But everybody's acting like we all knew. Okay. And then tell me more about the shark. No, that's it. Just needs to be codified.
That reminds me of like early 2000s or like mid 2000s, like around when we met, before the internet was what it is now. A lot of people, especially in New York, because everyone's a fucking tryhard, is like I was heavy into like, remember Google Reader, where you could like aggregate like all your RSS feeds like all together?
Yes.
And yeah, so I was on that all the time. It was like what I used. That's what my internet was. And so I was reading like every stupid blog, every little Tumblr, like all those things. And I noticed when I'd go out that like everyone was just parroting all these like a select few things, like Vice was a big one, like that kind of thing, as if it was like their own thing. And I think that was like me watching like the way that we communicate as a society kind of dying off, you know, like, cause it's a comparison that I enjoy making is that we used to be more of like a lending library society where you check out a book of life experience or knowledge or information, ingest it, and then share it with the people around you from your own perspective. And that's how we learn from each other. But now we're more of a reference library where it's like, yeah, I know where I can look that up. Like we codified that, you know, like that kind of shit, right? And no one really cares about people's personal opinions so much anymore. It's just about letting people know that you have one.
I saw the movie Ex Machina with this guy. And before the movie starts, he goes, do you know what Ex Machina means? And I'm like, I think I saw something because the movie came out. But I go, no, you know, whatever you want to tell me might be interesting. And he goes, you don't know? And I'm like, well, no, I don't know. But okay, I don't get embarrassed easily. No, I don't know. And he goes, God from the Machine. It's a plot device where a big problem finally gets solved immediately. And I'm like, word for word. That's what I fucking read on Rotten Tomatoes, just like you did today, you fake motherfucker.
Yeah, people do that
all
the time.
What did you get out of it? I'm impressed. And then you whack off to that later? What did you get out of it?
100% he whacks off to it later.
Yeah.
That's his deus ex machina. You know? He's like, I figured it out at the last second. Yeah, it's funny. You know, as I try and navigate that, I work with a lot of really young people, in production and in commercials and stuff, and it's just funny to see they move so different, you know, like it's this thing where it's just like about knowing that the information is there and knowing where you could get the information potentially, but the actual information doesn't really fucking matter. And it's not, of course, across the board, but it's just something that makes me feel old, even though I'm only turning 35 this year.
I get you. Is that a number to you, 35?
I don't know, kind of. I feel like 30 was a big one for me, but then a lot of terrible things happened, and I had a very hard beginning to my 30s. So I feel like it feels like a bit of a shelf to jump up to a level, you know. I like to say, like, you enter like this when you turn 20, you get onto the second floor. And then when you turn 25, you're on the mezzanine of the second floor.
Okay.
So I'm about to enter the mezzanine of the third floor, you know, which, especially given that I've really been going in a great direction and things are a lot more stable for me and looking to the future feels good. That feels significant to me. So the answer is yes.
And then you get into the 50s and it's like, don't jump.
Yeah. Yeah, we can see you up there. We're like, oh, those poor souls. Like, we keep trying to fix the net, but really it's not going to do anything. It's a very long way to fall.
Here's a fun little story. A 26-year-old man, this is in India, was arrested because he was caught masquerading as his girlfriend so he can take an exam in her place. She was going into healthcare, of all things, and I guess failed the test the first time. So he dressed up as a woman and tried to take the test. Now,
they finally got Mr. Bean in India.
Right.
He's like, this is genius.
Right. I don't know how it works in India. That's something you do in America where nobody can say something, you're hoping. That in a big liberal town. I think India, they're going to look at you. They're going to look at you a certain way. He was attempting to take a recruitment test for his girlfriend. He's 26. She's 34. And surprise, surprise, they caught him. He did shave his facial hair, but you still see stubble.
Yeah, I mean, unless he wore makeup.
He applied makeup. He wore women's clothes. This is an undercover lover. He forged his girlfriend's voter card. That's when you really get in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And
also, it's for a thing that's like a life-saving job. You know, that's like a, as we would call here in North America, an essential worker.
Yes.
And you're lying about that shit. I want to see the picture. Is there a picture of this guy dressed up?
I'll put it online.
They caught him, they got a picture?
It's kind of faded. It's kind of faded. I'll hold it up. But
that's enough for me. What a sucker. Oh, man.
and they go, first we had a clue when the face didn't match the ID card.
Yeah.
Okay. But
Detective Clouseau.
Then apparently they used like biometrics and shit and figured it out. But I bet they busted him right away. Have fun with it. Interview him. Because he's not going to know what women have to deal with. Go, okay, and real quick, are you on your period? That's related to the test. We want to see if you're stressed out. When was your last period? I described the cramping. And he's like, I guess, did he ask women this? It's kind of twisty, but we get through it. Like, just ask him personal women questions.
Yeah, I mean, see what it he sounds comes like out, up with. It would be a great prank if you set someone up to do what he did, but we're actually, and be like, oh, we're going to prank this exam. But right. The real prank is that they keep letting it go on and on.
Yes.
And on.
Yes. All right. It's now the mandatory 5-minute break for all women.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shoot. I guess I need to go pee sitting down. Yes, you do, lady.
He gets up, he starts to leave, and you go, and you point to a bowl of tampons. Take your tampon.
As one does at the end of every exam. Yeah, they kind of like see, like, that's the kind of shit they would have to do. Yeah. Like, just make shit up and, like, keep seeing if they'll, like, go with it, you know?
Oh, can I? I don't hope this isn't too personal. What kind of lipstick are you wearing? I guess I have to answer. Authorities ran biometrics and discovered they didn't match the ones kept on record. So you don't fuck around in India.
I guess for medical exams, you get to do fingerprints and stuff? Or
maybe. Biometrics sounds, mean? I don't know. It sounds like you're getting a bunch of those, you know, sticker things on your chest.
Yeah, it sounds like something on a Resident Evil or something.
Right. The couple are currently facing multiple charges while police have since launched an investigation. Okay. I think I sold it. A police officer says a man can take such a risk only for his girlfriend. So maybe they won't give him such a hard time.
We'll give him a little pat on the butt.
Right. You know? Hey, I've been there, brother.
Just a little grab ass.
You do what you got to do.
Lordy, lordy.
I want to hear that conversation at home. You can do it, honey. I'm not going to get a second chance of this. And it's not math or science. Again, it's healthcare and procedure. You got to know this shit.
Do you think as he's like walking away in cuffs, he's like, but how'd I do? on the exam.
But would I pass? Have passed? Yeah,
would she have passed? Well, she's never going to become a nurse or a doctor or whatever. That's crazy.
You hope. You hope. There's a university. Let's see. This is Vermont State University. Vermont State University Linden's Performance Arts. Where the fuck is this then? Vermont State? All right, I guess Vermont State. There's a Weird Al Yankovic class. One college had a Taylor Swift class, and now a professor proposed and got accepted a Weird Al Yankovic class.
What do we have the curriculum, or do you got to go to school to find out?
let's see. The professor, Brian Warwick, will be offering a Weird Al class, a business course inspired by the Harvard University's Taylor Swift course. Al Yankovic's work, says the professor, is not just about parodies. No, it's also about his tribute to pastiche songs, where it's actually an original work by Al Yankovic, but he's paying tribute to another artist. This is like a comedian explaining what a joke is.
Do you think that he goes on the whiteboard, he writes "Beat It," and he looks at the class, then turns around and erases the B, and everyone stands up and claps, and the theme from the end of Dead Poets Society starts playing.
There's a Weird Al movie, and they act like it's going to be a biopic, but it was written by Weird Al and his friend, and it's so fucking.
Someone with Daniel Radcliffe.
Right? Yes, have you seen it?
No, but you told me to see it, and I should.
It's goddamn hilarious. It's perfect, but they do that kind of thing that you just said, where he goes. First of all. In the movie, Michael Jackson steals Eat It and makes Beat It. In the movie, Mike Sharon is playing the radio. Weird Al is getting bologna from the refrigerator, and he goes, "My bologna." And the roommates go, "Wait, stop. What the fuck did you just say?" I just said, "My bologna." He's like, "Wow. Wow, yeah. You got it." And whatever, you know, like he was the king of everything. That was funny. His songs weren't that fucking good. We were children. It was goofy. I was allowed to own the album.
Yes.
Eat It, My Bologna. That's not a course.
Oh, my Lord. It reminds me of, if you've ever watched that show Community, which is, they have a whole episode where one of the students is taking a class called Who's the Boss? And like the professor's like, We're gonna go into like who actually is the boss, and it becomes this whole argument between him and Abed, one of the characters, and he like shames him by proving that Angelo is actually the boss, and he has to like quit teaching and like all this stuff. Sounds just like that to me.
The class will be a deep dive into what makes a good parody, such as the 5-time Grammy winner's "Eat It." That wasn't a good song.
It won a Grammy 5 times.
He won five Grammys.
He won five Grammys. Like, how did that one song win?
It was
five
so good.
Grammys.
Best visual effects, best.
Because he's not that fat.
Right? That's the thing. All right. Here's what you want to do. You want to, and I mean this sincerely, check out keithandthegirl.com/VIP. Take a look. I think you're really going to dig it. There's so much stuff there. Take a look at this GoFundMe. How do people find it again?
You go to Instagram and you look for MisterKyle. That's Mr. Kyle with 2 Y's, and it's the link in my bio. You can't miss it. My profile picture is me on a phone, but the phone, get this, Keith.
Yeah.
Is a banana. It's not actually a phone.
Where's my Grammy? You should get a Grammy for that. The way I'm saying shit. Who gives a fuck?
I'll hit up this teacher. Just email me his name.
No, you can't have a potential president saying, "What is this, Transgender Visibility Day? How about Jesus Christ Visibility Day?" Yeah, okay. In fact, I'm going to play the beginning of my latest stand-up from Nice Try Tricksters. It's called Ladies and Gentlemen and Others. And yeah, come on. Good luck to your brother, and get your shit together, world. Kyle, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks. Flew by. I can't believe we're done already.
Yeah. Let's do it again
soon.
Love you,
bro. Love you. Yeah, we'll do it again soon.
Peace.
Bye.
All right, guys, are you ready? Are you going to get your energy up? This is so fun. It's going to be awesome. It's his birthday. Is everybody a Keith and the Girl fan? What? Greatest podcast ever. It's going to be so so fun. This is his 17th album. He looked it up on Wikipedia before. I was like, is this number 17? He's like, let me check real quick. So we're at number 17 for the album. That fucking kicks ass. It's been 4 years. This was, the last one was before COVID, so it's been a little while. So this is our first one out of it. Are you guys ready for the show?
Wait a second. This is weird. Did she say ladies and gentlemen? 2023. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and others. Recognize? I'm not trying to be Hollywood woke, or I know this is done in New York City, but honest to God, regular men and women bore the shit out of me. You come to me and you go, I'm a guy and I can have a baby out of my pussy. That's saying something. I have no gender. You have my attention. So how can people get behind this transgender stuff? It's like, well, I wake up, I go to work, I get yelled at, I come home, I yell at the TV, I go to bed. I get up, I go to work. How can I make my life even more boring? Oh, I know. I won't accept anything new or fun. I heard about this chick. She's in love with the Eiffel Tower. Okay. Personally, I want to see you fuck. That's great. Calls themselves a conservative. Why would you even call it? Okay, I got my conservative beard. You see that? They're shooting a beard now. Bud Light's means transgender rights. We have conservative beard. I'm conservative. That's my label. I'm averse to change or innovation. That's the hat you bought. Thank God your wife's fucking your friends. You are insufferable. You know, knows you. You kind of knows you. On Instagram, she's not just showing us, she goes. So a guy goes to me and goes, hey, I identify as a dragon, first thing out of my mouth. That's fucking awesome! I don't think you can explain transgender things to the establishment, to people in government, to even your parents. How are you going to explain that to the people who send you an email, the whole body's in the subject, they still call your answering machine, hello? 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 Fuck it. Just enjoy Thanksgiving and go vote. Then we go through this shit with gay people. The shit we said, it was a little embarrassing. Then we learned, oh, they are things.